Today's reading is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 16. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the disciplines of a disciple, and we're up to week four, disciplined of reading the scriptures. This is something you have to take up. Yep, that's right, take it up. And we have the privilege, unlike the early church, we have the privilege that all the letters are together for us. All of them are in our own language, so they're not in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and other languages that might have been around, Latin. They're actually in our language. They're accessible. There's commentaries that are written about the scriptures surrounding it and giving us a broader picture. And so we're very, very privileged to have these scriptures. And, you know, I think the early church, they hungered and thirsted for these letters to be written to them and words of encouragement. And yet, I don't think we have the same thirst for it today as what they had. But that's why it's something that that we need to pick up. So here we are, week four of the disciplined disciples. That's what we are. And remember, this is not a sermon series about becoming boring and disconnected or a killjoy, but about becoming the best we can be, filled with joy and the joy that society sees, and they want to know more about it. A disciplined life leads to a more potent life in Christ, and with the expectations of God's hand being at work around us all the time. And these practices we're going to use to draw ourselves into a stronger relationship with Christ. And, you know, the Bible, the scriptures, it's the instruction manual for our lives. Amen. You know, if you want to know about God, you're going to find so much about God written in these scriptures, yeah? And spiritual disciplines do no good if we're not striving to actually have good relationships, not only with God, but with other people. See, if we don't strive to have good relationships, then we actually become more pious, and our motives may actually not be pure motives. So check your motives out. Check out why you're doing stuff. If all it is to fulfill all righteousness, those precious words from Jesus' baptism, and we don't say it like that, but if that's what you're thinking this is going to do, no. Are you ready to be impacted by the scriptures in your life today? See, 4 years ago, I started challenging the church to read a book of the Bible every single month. That's right. And you know what? We're going through it. We're already through the New Testament fully, and we're through most of the Old Testament. And I got to tell you that there's some stories and things that come out of it, and people will come up and go, Nick, did you realize that Paul raised someone from the dead, or the disciples raised someone from the dead in the book of Acts who fell out of a window after coughing? See, things are in the Bible. So here we go. Week one was submitting to God, yeah? Week two was on Sabbath and fasting, what we have to give up to be closer, so we can focus on God, the things that distract us. Last week was service, how serving the world actually expands the gospel and expands how, and it puts our heart in the right spot, yeah? And this week, reading the word, next week, prayer, and then week six, evangelism. And life be in it. That's Easter Day, yep. So it's going to be a great lead up to Easter, and I'm glad you can join with us. Well, why read the Bible? No spiritual discipline is probably more important than the intake of God's word. Actually, I disagree. It's on par with prayer, which is next week. You can't say one's better than the other. But these two, prayer and reading the Bible, I've put them in the middle. I didn't put them at the beginning because I actually need us to focus on submitting to God and what we might need to yield in our lives for God, and how to help and serve the world, and then to come back to these. Because, let's face it, I always preach one sermon a year on prayer and one sermon a year on reading the Scriptures. And it's my mantra. We can't read the Scriptures enough and we can't pray enough. See, nothing can substitute for reading the Bible and to teach us about God. Nothing. There's simply no healthy Christian life apart from a diet of the milk and meat of the Scripture and prayer. And this week is Scripture. You wouldn't service your push bike, let alone your car, without at least attempting to read the manual. So why do your own life a disservice by not reading the manual for your life? And that's the best way of summing up the Scriptures and what it means for us today as people, God's blessed people, trying to live the best life for Him in this world. The New Testament alone holds 283 direct citations. The New Testament, it's beautiful. The New Testament writers knew the importance of knowing the Scriptures, and they knew how they had spoken into the context for some 800 years after it being written. So there's 283 direct citations from the Old Testament that come into the New Testament. That's how important the Old Testament was for the New Testament church. It's a beautiful thing. So what do the Scriptures teach us? Well, because if we know what they teach us, then we actually understand why they're so important. They teach us about God's nature, His love, His forgiveness, His mercy, His grace, His awesomeness. They teach us about Christ, the purpose and the reasoning behind why Christ had to come and what Christ achieved in coming and what Christ promised to each one of us. Yeah. It teaches about our lives and the seasons we go through. Yeah, just think about the book of Ecclesiastes in particular. It talks about the meaninglessness of life, but it also teaches us about the different seasons of life. It's to encourage our faith, the Scriptures, and to warn us of dangers that we will come across in our journey. It shows us our purpose and how God loves us. And not only that, but how God loves all of creation. Remember, He's not at war with you or with anyone. He is at war with sin and brokenness and shame. And so He sent Jesus to heal our sins and our sicknesses, our brokenness and our shame, and to restore us. And He partners with us by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome sin, we can overcome the shame, and we can overcome the brokenness of our lives. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. But, you know, in the Scriptures, it talks about reading it or talks about meditating on it. And we come across in the very early part of John's Gospel, we come across in John 1, 43 to 49, a guy called Nathanael. His other name that he's referred to in the disciples is Bartholomew. And he's seen, and Jesus says, "I saw you while you were sitting under a fig tree." So when Jesus calls him, he says, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. And see, what actually Jesus is saying is, I saw you as a man of the word. And you'll go, but he was sitting under a fig tree. Uh-huh. See, rabbinical teaching and meditation of the word was done under fig trees. And Jesus could see that this disciple as a man who meditated on God's word and saw him as being a man of the word, which is so important for us. And you know, so here's Jesus. He chooses a zealot, he chooses fishermen, and he chooses a person or a man of the word. In 1 Timothy 4, 13 to 16, the passage gives instruction from Paul to a young Timothy. And firstly, it says, let it be heard, let it be made sense of, and let the word become part of your life. Let it become fulfill all parts of you. And secondly, it encourages that the word will encourage you to use your spiritual gifts in all different places, shapes and forms. And as you meditate on the word, as you get into it, it's going to help you to grow. And fourthly, the fourth thing it does is it gives you biblical literacy, which maintains a good doctrine. Because, you know, the encouragement is to maintain a good doctrine. And by doing so, by seeing the Spirit of God grow in you and the good doctrine, and as we're using our gifts, the fifth thing it will do by meditating on the word is this lifestyle will draw others to faith. because they'll see it as such a positive influence in our lives. You know, brothers and sisters, you need to prepare yourself to hear God's word. You know, and I've said this over the last couple of weeks, imagine playing a top-level sport without a warm-up, you know, without preparing yourself for it. So why do we not stop and pray and quieten our minds as we open the scriptures? See, it says that Jesus would retire to a quiet place often. And I think that sometimes we need to retire to a quiet place. I have to check myself that I don't use my sermon prep as an excuse for my daily reading. See, I need to also remember to read the scripture just for pleasure, which is why you'll normally find, apart from January, that the book of the month is a different book to what I'm preaching on. And it's beautiful. It allows me to just go through and meander through the scriptures with God and to see what it's saying. And it opens my heart and my mind, and it's a good thing. Being a discipline, you need to try and set a regular time and place when you know you can receive the word without distraction. It doesn't need to be that you have to have an hour set aside. It may only be 3 or 4 minutes a day. But use a method that works for you, whether it's a hard copy of the Bible, whether it's an e-copy, whether it's a daily devotional or spoken word format. And maybe you're listening to it in your earpods, or maybe in your car. Maybe you're sitting on a train and you just be able to read it off your phone. It's all good, whatever your method is. Maybe you've got an app on your phone that kicks up a devotion each day, or just a verse each day. But don't get daunted by others. So often we look around and we see other people and how they're getting into the word or how they're praying, and we go, oh, I can't achieve that level, and you become disheartened. Don't. If you are good for 10 verses a day and other people are good for a chapter a day, who cares? Who cares? Maybe you'll build up in time. Maybe you're only good for a verse a day or 2 verses a day. That's good. 2 verses is better than no verses. So get into it. Yeah. You know that the NCLS, the National Church Life Survey, tells me that only about 10% of people have a daily devotion. That is amazing. So I think that that's something that we as a church don't always address, is the daily devotion. Is there a time that we set aside to pray and read? You know, Joshua 1:7 says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it." You know, that's an Old Testament passage, but still strong words for us today. You know, get into the word. Keep the word firm in your heart and your life. You know, I sometimes like to play with different kind of paradigms, and to, just so it can give us a check things at the door for us. You know, I said to some young people in my church one day, "Who do you know better, Harry Potter or Jesus?" One girl says, "I've read all of Harry Potter's books about 5 times. Have you read the Bible? No. Oh, so we know Harry Potter more than we know. But it's no different. Do you know James Bond better than you know God? Do you know the newspaper better than you know God? You know, do you know church friends and their opinions better than you know God's opinions? See, I actually think that sometimes we think that church opinions and church friends' opinions are more important than reading the Word of God to see what the Word of God actually says. I know it is easier to be more connected and knowledgeable about the world than God. But where does it leave us when we're asked about God? If someone comes up and says to you, "Tell me something about God that's in the Bible," and you sit there and go, we got to have a better answer than, For Ezra, it says, the prophet Ezra in the Old Testament, Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to its teaching and decrees and the laws in Israel. Ezra 7:10, there's an instructive significance to the sequence in this verse. Firstly, it says that Ezra devoted himself. And secondly, what did he devote himself to? The study of it. And then, thirdly, to the observance of the law of the Lord. And fourthly, it was to the teaching and the decrees. To teaching its decrees. So, he spent time and he devoted himself. He set the time aside. He disciplined himself. He studied it. He put it into practice in his life. And then he taught it to others. You see, that's the beauty of the word, isn't it? For each one of us. Before Ezra taught the word of God to the people, he practiced what he'd learnt, but Ezra's learning came from a study of the scriptures. And I think that this is beautiful, you know, that in how we live our lives for God and how we study the word, it should be something that actually washes off into the rest of our life naturally. Surely we only have to be realistic and honest with ourselves to know how regularly we need to turn to the Bible. Karl Barth, one of the theologians in the early 19th century, is a preacher, must be able to hold the Bible in one hand and hold the newspaper in the other, so that they speak relevantly into it. So it should be balanced. The reading of the word should be balanced. Don't just have everything in your life being from the word. No, no, you still need to be able to connect with society. Remember what I said earlier? It's about our relationship with other people too. You know, so if all you do is you just read the Bible and nothing else in life, I'm going to say you're actually on an unhealthy diet, because you need to be able to actually engage people and talk to other people in life as well. Worship, witness, service. Worship. Yep, worship. Folks, you will not know who you are really worshiping or what God's nature is if you are not getting into the Word. You won't know whether God's a just God, a fair God. You know, we've heard it all in church, so you just assume. But don't assume. Go and discover God for yourself in the Scripture so that you may worship Him with the fullness of your life and knowledge of who He is. You'll hear lots of things from a pulpit, but you'll not have the sharpness of spirit and mind as to if it's good or junk unless you're in the Word. There's plenty of people who can preach, but will you actually know what they're preaching is true, or what they're preaching is actually found in the Scriptures? And if you're reading the Word, if you're getting into the Word, then you're going to know whether that's stuff that is found in the Scriptures or not. You know, when we go to witness to people, so we've done worship, when we go and witness to people, how will you know what to say? How will you know who to go to? And more. See, the Word will be our foundation for setting all this in place for us in our lives. If we get disheartened or let down, how will we know if it's us or if it's just normal? Maybe it's part of the journey we're on. The Word gives us lots of examples of not only Jesus, but the disciples and the early church and some of the struggles they had. And we will still have those struggles today. The Word prepares hearts and attitudes for how best to be Christ's hands and feet in our society. So if we're not getting into the Word and we're just going out and doing things, then actually I think our paradigm is flawed. And finally, when it comes to service, the Word gives us assurances and also gives us a doctrinal foundation in social justice and social welfare. We are more than just good people. We are Christ's ambassadors, serving the society with love, compassion, healing, forgiveness, mercy and grace, and persisting on through the power of the Holy Spirit, even with those whom we struggle to serve. Yeah? Even with those whom we struggle to serve. The power of the Word is the most amazing thing. It gives us the power and the wisdom to serve, but not just to make excuses as to why we don't want or cannot see the value in it. And I think that when we get more and more into the Word, we stop making excuses, because we start seeing that we're fully empowered by God. That's right, we're empowered to serve and not to make excuses. And that's one of the beautiful things that the Word will instill in each one of us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's right, it reminds me that it's Christ's strength and love, compassion, care, hope, that strengthens me to serve, and not me or my own ways that's going to get me through this. The Bible reminds me of not just this, but many more other aspects of how I will serve people, even in the good seasons and the tough seasons. The disciples get fit. The disciples got fit with Jesus, and we as Christ's disciples today, we get fit with discipline. You know, I don't care if you can't quote 20 passages of scripture. I don't care if you only read a verse a day. I don't care if you use the Message, the King James, the RSV, the NLT. I just care that you're eating a diet of milk and meat from God that will nourish you in your lives and help others come to know Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, this week, be dangerous and talk to God about how you can read the word more, how you can engage it more, how you just say, God, can you give me time every day to just go and spend with you reading the word? Ask God to break down your attitudes that hinder your engagement, that cause you to resist this. And eat up, brothers and sisters. The word of God is good and will set you on a good path for life. Amen.